Good evening. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. If you will, take a hymnal. Turn over with me to page number 329. Page 329. Let's everybody stand and sing Standing on the Promise. Sing with me now.
Standing on the promises of Christ, my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing.
Let's turn over to page number 57 and let's sing the first and the last of Amazing Grace. That's why we said turn to 57, so you can read along.
Sing in the house of the Lord this evening, and we had a great service this morning, great message, great moving of the Spirit, and we're so thankful for that. But now it's a new service, and we look forward to what God has for us tonight, and we're going to go ahead and ask the blessing on the offering and ask the blessing on the service. Please remember, Brother Jeff has surgery on, is that Friday, this coming Friday, Brother Jeff? So please remember him. Hassan's got surgery coming up in the very near future. Some folks are recovering from some things that they've gone through over the past couple of weeks. Had a funeral this afternoon, have another one on Tuesday evening. And then tomorrow will be the funeral for Brother Stan. And so please remember that. And Miss Sherry and the family in prayer. And again, remember all the prayer requests that were given this morning. We have many. A lot of folks going through a lot. And we just want to lift each one up in prayer tonight. Remember that next Sunday evening will be our Thanksgiving meal, a great time of fellowship. Next Sunday morning, just regular service time, Sunday school, and regular service next Sunday morning. And then there'll probably be a few changes in the next week or so as we get into the holidays. Things change a little bit. But please remember also the tree lot. It'll be up and running here in the very near future. So please remember that. I believe we need some help on Tuesday to try and get the tent set up and everything there. So please remember that. But let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. I'm sure Pastor will come on and share what I left out here in just a few moments. But Brother Don, would you take us, Lord, in a word of prayer?
Problems that we have. But Lord, you have healing hands. And we ask you
One phrase in that really spoke to me, and it has been speaking to me all afternoon, I suppose. And I was on the way to church tonight and trying to figure out maybe a song that I might do. I've never sung this before, so y'all went for a great treat. But I just pray that it might be as much as a blessing to you tonight as it was to me. It's an old song that says, "It's still the blood." Once I wondered, is that sea? Once I wandered in sin's dark night, there was no way to make my wrongs right. Then the old accuser to the Lord did cry, "He is a sinner, and now he must die." Then I heard a voice saying, "Father, I'll go and I'll pay his sin debt in Calvary's floor. I'll bear in my body the marks of the cross to save this child who is sin sick and lost. And it's still the blood that saves from sin. It's still the blood that cleanses within, from the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea. It is still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me. There are those who rely on works that they do, and some even count on the times they pray through. But when the battle's over and the victory is won, I'll go home through the blood of the Father's only Son. And it's still the blood that saves from sin. It's still the blood that cleanses within, from the highest star of heaven to the depths of the sea. It is still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me. Yes, it's still the blood that saves from sin. It's still the blood that cleanses within, from the highest star of heaven to the depths of the sea. It is still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me. And from the highest star of heaven to the depths of the sea, it is still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me.
Amen. Amen. redemption, the blood of Jesus, that is.
Everyone, for all that you do. I do want to mention briefly Stan's funeral will be tomorrow at 11 a.m. there at West Cobb Funeral Home. So remember that. Remember again, Miss Sherry family. And all these other requests that we mentioned this morning, each and every one, just pick up a bulletin if you would. There in the foyer behind you or up front to my right beside the organ. To your left would be good. All right. If you have your Bibles, take your Bibles tonight. Turn to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. We enjoyed the service this morning, preaching on a different subject this morning out of Joshua 23. And we talked about how that the Lord will do it again. God will do it again. Joshua talked about how that the Lord had helped them, the people of God, and that he will continue to help them. Talked about how there was still territory in Canaan land that needed to be taken. And we talked about the squatters this morning. The squatters. Everybody knows what a squatter is, or at least some do. I found out that some don't. Some do. They go in, they try to occupy someone else's place. So we talked about how that the devil's squatting in a lot of people's lives. And then we talked about how that, of course, there is conditions to secure our success. And we've got to have good courage. And we've got to seize. The Bible talks about having good courage to do all that's written in the Word of God, meaning seizing our attention to the Word of God, drawing strength, having courage, and then we're to be sticky. He says to cleave unto the Lord as we always, or as they always have done. Like Brother Allen said, that was a different service. This is a different service from this morning. That was one. This is another. And I want to start out by saying this tonight. The holidays are upon us, aren't they? Holidays are here. Black Friday sales have already started. And I was online yesterday looking up something and I kept seeing Black Friday sales and from Walmart and Kohl's. Always busy on Saturdays, but yesterday Hiram was slammed. I went to Target for a can of soup. This is detergent. How about that? Miss Christie's down, so I had to take care of that. And Lily and I went to Target. And as we walked in, the Starbucks line was almost out the door. You could tell, it's evident, the holidays are upon us. And the people going shopping and people drinking coffee. Just the people buzzing around on these holiday days leading up to Christmas on their shopping mission. I also was reminded yesterday that you have to be careful zipping into parking lots because you may get mugged, especially around Christmas time. You know, you see one, you go for it. Next thing you see from the person you're just cut off, or the fist shaking. So just keep on driving and remain calm and make it through these holidays. You've heard the song, or at least the phrase in the song, dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh, laughing all the way. I kind of rewrote that yesterday in traffic a little bit, had me a little piece that I thought about. Dashing down the road on Highway 278, trying to dodge traffic and road ragers all the way. I'm telling you, it's crazy around the holidays. It's just crazy. Crazy. Crime is up around the holidays. Of course, shopping's up around the holidays. Family fights are up around the holidays. Some even avoid family around the holidays. Whether we like it or not, wherever we're at in life, the holidays are here. This, of course, is the commercial side of holidays, where it's all about buying gifts, eating, drinking coffee. But tonight, we know that it's much more than that, the holiday season. Thanksgiving is about being thankful. Christmas is about Jesus. So tonight, for a few moments, I want to bring a message entitled Approaching Thanksgiving. Approaching Thanksgiving. Whether we like it or not, we are just a couple weeks away from Thanksgiving. And shortly after that, Christmas, and then the New Year's, Valentine's Day, and then before you know it, it's Jubilee time in March. And so time is ticking. Thanksgiving is here. All year, all year long, we experience ups and downs. We experience good news and then not so good news. We receive bad news during the course of a year's time. We're in, we're out, we're on, we're off. And I'm sure that all of us tonight are in different places in our life. Some are at a good place as these holidays come. Others are in a not-so-good place as these holidays come. But I want to ask us all a question, and that is, how should we approach Thanksgiving? How should we approach these holidays? So tonight I have just 2 points I want to speak about. This is coming from my perspective, of course, with Bible principles. So how should we approach Thanksgiving? Just 2 quick points tonight, and then we're going to go home. Number one, we should approach Thanksgiving by focusing on the good. Focusing on the good. Here in Philippians chapter 4, notice if you would in verse number 8. The Bible says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." And so Paul tells us to think the right way. And of course, this takes effort. This takes being intentional. Right thinking is not just going to happen. It's work to keep things filtered out of our minds. It's a job to maintain our mind. We know that when a person gets saved, their hearts are saved, but their minds are not saved. And so we have this wonderful verse here, Paul challenging us to think the right way, to focus on the good. He says the things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, any good report, think on these things. Think on these things. When we think about King David, what pops up in your mind at first? You just think about it. You don't have to say it out loud. If this isn't the first thing that pops up in your mind, probably the second or third thing that pops up in your mind. When we think about King David, we think about his sin with Bathsheba. David looked, David lingered, David lusted. Shouldn't we be thinking about David's sin tonight? Shouldn't we be caught up in David's sin and thinking about, you know, how he made a mess of his kingship? He should have been at battle, but he stayed home and he was on the rooftop. He seen Bathsheba bathing. He looked, he lingered, he lusted. Shouldn't we be thinking about that, how David failed and how he faltered and fumbled, how he disobeyed God and had a man, in fact, a man was murdered and his household suffered for years? Shouldn't we be thinking about the sin of David tonight Isn't that one of the things that comes to our mind first when we think about David? If not first, maybe second or third, about how he just blew it and messed up. Shouldn't we be thinking about that? And the answer tonight is no. We shouldn't be thinking about the bad in the life of David. We shouldn't be thinking about that at all. But the question is, why shouldn't we be thinking about that? We shouldn't be thinking about the bad in the life of David, that one situation that he failed at, because David asked for forgiveness. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 51 for just a moment. Psalm 51, listen to this. The inscription says in Psalm 51, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Verse 1, David says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. He spends the whole chapter. Verse 2, he says, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. We shouldn't be thinking about David's sin. We shouldn't be thinking about the bad in David's life, but we should be thinking about the good in David's life, because the bad had been forgiven, you see. David was forgiven. He asked God for forgiveness. It's different when someone messes up and they blow it and they fumble it and they just fail, and yet they do not ask for forgiveness. There is not repentance in their heart and they're continuing to live the way they live. You might have some other thoughts toward them. Well, they just need to get right with God. They need to ask for forgiveness. But this particular situation, David asked for forgiveness. And David asked for God to just touch him and forgive him. And so we know that there was mercy and grace for David. He was completely forgiven. God gave him a second chance. And while men wouldn't forgive, and while men wouldn't forget, and consequences remain, the truth of the matter is, that was the past in the life of David. And so tonight we need to focus on the good in our lives and the good in the lives of people around us. Listen, it takes effort and we have to be intentional. But if Thanksgiving is what Thanksgiving is, a time to be grateful and thankful, let us search our own hearts. Let us look out among us, the brethren and sisters, and just thank God for the good that God has done in their life. Again, we could easily think about David and, oh, David. Can't believe you did what you did, David. Well, can we really not believe it? Aren't we all human? Are we all bent going in the wrong direction? Don't we all need a touch? Don't we all need a second chance? The answer to those questions are yes. There is none righteous. No, not one. As one person said, the grounds around the cross is level grounds. There are no big I's, there are no little U's. We all need a touch from God. We all need the mercy of God. We all need the grace of God. So tonight, if there's someone that you're at odds with, someone who has offended you, something is taking place in your life and you're holding that against them, I think Thanksgiving will be a great time to forgive. Thanksgiving will be a great time to look at someone and say, you know what, there's a lot of bad that's happened in your life, but I want to focus on the good that's happened in your life because God has been good to me. Focus on the good this Thanksgiving. We've all made bad choices and bearing consequences, but be thankful for mercy and grace. Aren't you thankful for the grace of God tonight? The mercy of God tonight? The times that we've slipped and stumbled? Yes. Yes, be thankful for the mercy and the grace of God. Focusing on good things takes effort, and you must be intentional. This is a national holiday set aside to be thankful for, so let's focus on the good. Again, back in the book of Philippians, he says, as soon as I find it, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So we should approach Thanksgiving tonight by focusing on the good. Got one more for you. I only got 2 points tonight. Not only that, but number two, how should we approach Thanksgiving? By finding purpose in the bad. Focusing on the good, finding purpose in the bad. Let us learn from unpleasant experiences. James chapter number 1. Make your way to James chapter number 1 for a moment. In verse number 5. The Bible tells us, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Find purpose in the bad. Learn from unpleasant experiences. Now we know here that the people of God were scattered and because of the persecution that was taking place there at the time. And we know that some were driven away from their homes and living in the wilderness and all the other things. And so God here through the Apostle James says, let a man ask for wisdom if he lacks understanding. Let us ask of God what's going on in our life if we don't understand. But if we make bad choices, let us ask of God what he wants us to learn from that. Learn from our mistakes. Learn from hard places. Talking about finding purpose in the bad. Don't waste any bad experiences. Don't waste any failure. Learn from that. There's a book out called Failing Forward. Failing Forward. I love that. Because if we fail tonight, let us fail forward into the hands of God. If we fail tonight, let us fall into the hands of Almighty God and experience His mercy. Let us fall, let us fail into the grace of God. And so there's something to be learned from failure. There's something to be learned from a bad situation. Let us learn from unpleasant experiences. Ask God, God, what do you want me to learn from this? Lord, I don't understand this hard place. I don't understand this strain that I'm in. Lord, what do you have for me in this? Again, a lot of people say you're not supposed to question God. Where's that at in Scripture? Jesus on the cross, in his agony, getting ready to die for the sins of the world, looks up to heaven in my mind's eye and, Lord, why hast thou forsaken me? Why, Lord? And James says, if you lack understanding, ask God why. Lord, why is this happening? What can I learn from this? Finding purpose in the bad. Philippians chapter number 4, verse 11. Philippians 4, verse 11. Notice what Paul says here. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Paul said that I found purpose in my bad places. The times where I was hungry, the times where I didn't have resources, the times where I was suffering, I found purpose in that. I clinged to God. I learned. I was on a learning curve. Think about Paul with that thorn in the flesh that he had. He asked God at least 3 times for thorn removal. God, I'm in pain. Lord, I'm hindered. If you were to remove this thorn, that I could serve you better. Remove it from my life. And so Paul was asking for thorn removal, but then finally the Lord answered and said, Paul, I'm not going to remove the thorn, but I will give you grace to continue with the thorn. And so listen, Paul could have tucked tail and run. Paul could have just moped and griped, and Paul could have complained, and Paul could have done all those things. But yet, listen, he learned something. He learned something. He found purpose in that bad. The Bible talks about Paul, I'm not going to remove the thorn. He said, the Lord said, but he said, but my grace is sufficient for you. He said, because when you're weak, then you'll be strong. Many times when we're weak and we're frail and we feel like we're crumbling and we can't produce, we can't assume our responsibilities, those are places we don't like to be in, and sometimes it's a scary place to be in, but it's when we're weak, we can tap into the power of God. That's something learned. What do you wake up in the morning, you don't feel good? Oh, I don't want to go to work today. All right, some people don't go to work when they don't want to go to work just because they're not feeling good. Sometimes people are really not feeling good and they're sick and they can't go to work. Others just say, well, I just don't want to go to work today. Well, in a lot of households, that's not an option. And so you learn to go when you don't want to go. You learn to keep moving forward when you don't want to move forward because of things that are bothering you. You learn that God's grace is sufficient. Find purpose in the bad. What are you going through tonight that's keeping you up at night? What are you going through tonight that's troubling and overpowering you? What is it that you're experiencing that you just wish would change? It's fine to want it to change. Ask God for it to change. But also ask God, what's His purpose in this bad? Maybe God is teaching us a little bit about grace. Giving grace, accepting grace. Maybe God is teaching us a little lesson on learning how to be content when things aren't going well. I think he is. I think he is. So Paul, he learned some things. He found purpose in the bad. He learned contentment. Philippians chapter number 1. Notice verse number 12. Paul is in prison now. Of course, this is written from prison, the whole book. But in verse number 12, he says, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have totally messed me up, and I'm out of the race, and I'm going home. But I would that you should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened to me have just totally devastated me. I'm locked up. It's stinky. There's rats in here. Nobody cares. God's nowhere to be found. Doesn't say that, does it? But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Okay, wait a minute. He's in jail. He's incarcerated for something he didn't do. I mean, he was preaching the gospel, but that evidently it was a crime to them, but he was doing right and he was incarcerated, locked up, stinky, rotten jail cell, prison. Bad situation. But he focused on the Lord. He was adapting to his circumstance. He was being pliable in the master's hand. He did nothing wrong. He was incarcerated and jailed. And the Bible says that this situation allowed the gospel to go further. And so, bad times in life, none of us like them. But could it be that your bad time you're going through, God has something great He wants to do? Could it be? Let that be our mindset as we head toward Thanksgiving, is just finding purpose in all of the bad. finding purpose in the bad, focusing on the good. It's a great way to approach Thanksgiving. Betty Ford struggled with alcoholism. She also said later on in life that her father was an alcoholic. Her brother was an alcoholic. And so she struggled as well. Her husband, Gerald Ford, being president at the time, you can imagine the stress of being the first lady. Of course, this was a perfect storm. It surfaced her tendencies to run to the bottle, and she drank, and she drank, and she drank. She was an alcoholic. The First Lady of the United States of America was an alcoholic. Imagine going around to all the speaking engagements that her husband had, and even herself, and she had to put on a mask, act like she had it all together. Can I be honest tonight? None of us have it all together. Nobody has it all together. And I mean, we don't want to show up dragging our feet with tears bouncing off our shoes every time somebody sees us. It's bad news. We try to put our best foot forward. We try to act like everything's okay. But on the inside, there are real problems. So after the presidency, sometime around that period of time, Betty Ford got help with her alcoholism, and then later founded the Betty Ford Center, a place where people could go for addictions, talking about finding purpose in the bad. My word tonight is simply that, is whatever bad is taking place, lean in a little bit under God's microscope and ask Him, Lord, what can I learn from this situation? God, You're my Savior. My life is in Your hands. I know this didn't catch You by surprise. What is it that I can learn? How can I benefit from this? I don't want this trial to go to waste. I don't want this bad experience to just die off and not learn anything from it. So she found purpose in the Lord. They want to come tonight. Let us all do the same this Thanksgiving. Let us find purpose in the bad. Let us this Thanksgiving, as it gets closer and closer, focus on the good. I'll leave you with this verse tonight. Romans 8:28 says this, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." One time I was at Home Depot, one of many times, I'll say this in conclusion, and I needed some paint. And so I asked for, I think it was shark fin gray, something like that. And so the man said, "Okay, well, I'll make the paint." And so I said, "Let me just get a small sample right now." And so he put the container under the spout there, and a little bit of black went in there. A little bit of white went in there. Everything but gray. Yellow, red. Did I say that? I say black, red, white, gray. And then put a cap on it and put it in this thing like it. Agitated. And to my surprise, he put that can of paint on the counter, popped it off. He says, "Was this what you're looking for?" I said, "Exactly what I was looking for. Shark fin gray." And so, Brother Richard, we may not understand everything God's doing tonight. We may not even like everything He's doing tonight, because it may have to do with pain or discomfort. And listen, we like the good things from the hand of God. We like the good mountaintop experiences. But if truth be known tonight, He's working all things together for good. And it's our mission to find purpose in the bad and focus on the good. Again, He says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." That's the message tonight, approaching Thanksgiving. and how to approach Thanksgiving. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you tonight. I pray that you give liberty during this time of invitation if someone needs to come. Although the message being short, Father, I pray that it went straight to the heart. We'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. If you need to come, come on the front.